The last time I preached out of 1 Peter chapter 1, it was about God's grace and our salvation. And there's a lot of confusion about what the grace of God is. Some people think that He gives it and then He takes it away. And some people think that it's a little bit of His grace and a whole lot of your grit. But it's not so. It's all grace. Every bit of it is undeserved love, undeserved favor. Doesn't have a whole lot to do with me and you, really. Now, how He blesses us may, but not about how He saves us and keeps us. And so I want you just to look at that verse 12, if you will, in chapter 5. It says, "By Silvanus, a faithful brother unto you, as I suppose I've written briefly, exhorting and testifying that this is the true grace of God wherein you stand." So the whole book of 1 Peter is about the grace of God. Now, a lot of people look at the prophecy, and a lot of them look at some of the so-called, you know, rules of order and things like that. But it's about the grace of God. Last time we studied the grace of God in our salvation. It was living hope, and it was holiness, and it was harmony, and every bit of that was by the grace of God. And I'm not going to rehearse that again. So tonight I want you to look at chapter 2, if you will. Chapter 2, and I'm going to read a long portion of Scripture, and that's one reason I was in a hurry to get started. Long portion of Scripture here, if you'll bear with me, and if you got your Bible, read with me, okay? In chapter 2, verse 11, if you will. Chapter 2, verse 11. "Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust which war against the soul, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that, whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake." Now, that's not for your sake, because you're a good guy or you like it, but because the Lord wants you to do it, okay? "Whether it be to the king as supreme, or unto governors as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers, and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing you may put to silence the ignorance of the foolish men. As free, and not using your liberty as a cloak for maliciousness, but as the servants of God, honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward. For this is thankworthy, if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. For what glory is it if, when you're buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently? But if when you do well and suffer for it, you take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. For even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that ye should follow his steps." In other words, you suffer too. "Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that, if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives." In other words, I told you that word means whole lifestyle, not just word. "While they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear, whose adorning let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting of hair and wearing of gold or putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. For after this manner, in the old time, the holy women also, who trusted in God, adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands. Even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. Man, underline that one. Whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well and are not afraid with any amazement. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife, and underline this, as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil, or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. Now, I know that's a long passage, but what this is talking about is God's grace in submission. God's grace. It takes the grace of God to be saved. Yes, it takes the grace of God to stay saved. Yes, that's all God. But it also takes the grace of God for us to take our rebellious, sinful hearts and minds and submit ourselves to anybody. It takes the grace of God. Now, we live as Christians by the grace of God. That's how we do these things, by God's grace. He gives us grace to be able to do it. Not that we can brag on it or glory in it. It's not us, it's Him in us, the hope of glory. Amen? Y'all fellas supposed to be my amen pew right here. Where you at? Okay. All right, this my amen pew over here is empty tonight. I need somebody to help me, help me. Listen, before you can serve, you must submit. Before you can serve, you must submit. You can't be a leader until you're a follower. And we don't naturally want to be followers. We naturally want to be leaders. They ought to put a bumper sticker on the back of most of our cars that says, "The line starts here." I know it should be on mine. but it takes the grace of God to submit. And people talk about serving, how it takes the grace of God to serve. Well, you're not going to serve until you learn how to submit yourself. Amen? And so just three or four things I want to show you here. We've got to learn how to submit to authority. If you're ever going to teach your children anything, how to get along in this world, you better teach them how to submit to authority. Amen? I mean, they ain't going to like it. You didn't like it. But there is authority that we all submit to. There's an order. God has an order. Look at verse 11 through 17, he says it. There in verse 11, he says this. He says, having your conversation. I'm sorry, I'm on the wrong verse. Verse 11, dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. In other words, when they stand before God. Verse 13, how are you going to do that? Submitting yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme or unto governors as unto them that are sent by him for punishment of evildoers. In other words, if you'll read Romans chapter 13, God set up government. And whether they're good government or bad government, they're ministering spirits for God. God set them up to punish evildoers and reward good people. And boy, people talk bad about the government. it just makes me want to get in the flesh sometimes. And they'll say things, and I'll say, well, you know what? I found out, as long as I obey the law like I'm supposed to, I don't have no trouble out of it. Amen. Well, the police, they're mean and all this stuff. They ain't mean to me. Because I do, I do what they say. If he pulled me over and said, let me see your license, I say, yes, sir. Amen. If he says, you know what I got you for? I said, yeah, I think I do. But submitting to them, I don't rear up to them. I saw a video of an independent Baptist preacher who claims to be of my stripe, independent, fundamental, King James toting, King James preaching Baptist preacher that went through a license check and videotaped himself on his stupid little phone, and he videotaped himself. He said, watch this. This is illegal what they're doing. Checking people's license. They can't do that by the Constitution. They have no right to ask me who I am, where I'm going, or see identification. And he rolled that, and his name's Sanderson, in case some of y'all ever heard of him. He's a nut. And he rolled that window down about that far. Yeah, I said that. Yeah. And he rolled his window down about that far. And the policeman said, son, can I see you drive the license? He said, no, sir. He said, roll your window down. He said, no, sir. He said, I told you to roll this window down. He tapped on the window. He said, I don't have to. He said, I told you to. That makes it you have to. He said, no, you have no legal right to pull me over. You have no legal right to check me or ask me where I'm going. Like, maybe he don't. But a smart man would have submitted. And here's what I think. If you ain't got nothing to hide, why care? Because there's a bunch of them they're pulling over that does have something to hide. And if he ain't got the right to check me, he ain't got the right to check them. I say, check them all. Amen. Amen. Submitting yourselves. Now, God put them there. And when our country believed that and our preachers preached that, we got along a lot better. You wouldn't ever went to a church in the 1940s or 50s and the preacher, the pastor, stand up and say, rebel against the government. They never would say that. They'd say, honor them. You vote them in. If you don't like it, vote them out. But don't write. I ain't carrying no stinking sign. I'm not wearing a black hood or a white hood or anything else. I've been called a hood. Amen. I need some help over here, fellas. Amen pews out, okay? Amen every once in a while. Or oh me. But he says, as pilgrims, as strangers, as aliens. Look here. The sooner you get it in your head that this is not our home, the easier it'll be for you to submit to authorities. Because, see, this place don't belong to me. It belongs to them. The world belongs to the world. I'm not part of the world anymore. So I'm a guest. I'm a guest. And I'm going to behave like a guest. Brother Bud Mims on Harvest Time Bible Camp. He was a multimillionaire. He was used to getting anything he wanted, anytime he wanted to snap. If he snapped, they came, they did whatever he wanted to. He was a good Christian, but he was very demanding, very strict. We had a lot of strict dress codes, but we made our kids go by him because at first he charged us $10 a head to stay a whole week. And then later on, prices went up. He charged us $35 a head. And the most it ever was $50 a head. And he said, if you can't get that, bring them anyway. Now, that man had some strict rules. He didn't believe there was ever a time a girl should ever wear pants. Never. He was old school. And so we had to make culottes. Girls can't play in dresses. He'd let them wear culottes. So we'd get them culottes. But then it got where he couldn't find culottes. Could any of y'all ladies tell me where you can buy some culottes at? You can't buy them. Online they sell them. So my wife and the ladies from Independent Bible Baptist Church got together and went up to the cloth store and bought a big old roll of drapery cloth. Thick. It was cheap. Had big old flowers on it, about that big. And they put elastic in. They made culottes and put elastic in the waistband so one size fits all. So some of the healthier girls, but it fit. But them little old girls run around and they come down to there, and they're about that big around. You go ahead and laugh if you want to. But I remember Brother Terry McTeer, by Tuesday, we were sitting down there at the swim pool with all them boys. The boys swam, then the girls would swim. And we were sitting down there with those boys, and it was about 110 degrees that day. And Brother Ron, them culottes sure looking good right now, because he wouldn't let men wear shorts. You had to wear long breeches. So here it is in August, and all us men wearing blue jeans and stuff about to burn up. He said, if you'll get me some of them culottes, Brother Ron, I'll wear them. He went on like that all week long. You say, why would you submit yourself to such stuff as that? One reason. He owned the place. He was good to us. He was good to us. He told me one day there was a church that the pastor thought he knew everything. If I called his name, some of y'all would know it. And some of this pastor's, a couple of this boys under this pastor's direction, I believe a little inspiration from him, Brother Billy, tied a boy to a tree one night to punish him. Tied him to a tree and left him there. Mr. Mims blew the roof off. He said, you can get me sued. He said, he told that pastor, he said, you're going to go call those parents and tell them what those boys did to you, that boy. And you're going to apologize. And that man said, I'm not going to do that. He said, you're going to do that, or you'll never come back up here again. He said, well, I just won't come back up here again. And he quit bringing his church because of that. And this is what I told him when he got through telling me that story. I said, Brother Mims, this is your house. You own every bit of this. When I'm at your house, I'm going to be a good guest, and I'm going to mind your rules at your house. I said, but now if you come to my house, you're going to have to mind my rules. Is that not fair? And I said, if I ever get to the point that I can't agree with your rules, I won't argue with you. I won't have a fuss. We just won't show up, because this is your place and you're in charge, and whatever you say goes, whether I agree with it or not. And if I don't agree with it, you won't know, because it's your house. Every church I ever served in as youth pastor or whatever I did, when I'd go to that church, the first thing I'd tell them was this. I'd tell the pastor, first thing, I'd say, I'm not here to hurt you. I'm here to help you. I'll go by your rules. Brother Jason Coley made me get baptized for the second time. It was his house, his rules. I did it. He changed that later. But everyone I ever went to, I said, you're the pastor. God gave you this church. And I'll never argue with you about anything. I'll never blow up. I'm not here to get a following. I'm here to follow you. But if I ever disagree with you enough, I'll just slip off. Quietly. I won't tear your church up, because this is your church. You're a pastor here, not me. Y'all understand what I'm saying? Say amen right there. Where's my amen pew at? Amen. All right. Look, by the grace of God, we learn to submit to our masters, and we've all got masters. We've all got masters. You say, well, I said it this morning, you say, I work for myself. No, you don't. You work for somebody else, just like I do. My lights burn out. My goodness. I wonder why I had such a hard time reading. Listen. The Bible says, I don't say it, the Bible says, verse 13, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme. He's saying, you're a guest in this world, and you ought to act like a guest. You're not in charge. Amen? Amen, amen. I have a problem with that. I really do. It takes the grace of God. Everywhere I go, my wife, before we go in, she'll say, remember, you're not in charge here. Everywhere. And I go in there, and after a few minutes, I'll say, who's in charge here? Don't look like nobody's in charge. But I submit. I submit. Now, the Bible says we're to submit. By how? How do you do that? By well-doing. By well-doing, he said. Look here. I don't worry about the law, because I'm not going to break it. I'm not going to break the law. So I'm not worried about it. I'm not worried about getting shot, because I'm not shooting at them. Amen? Amen. If they ever say, get out of the car, I get out of the car. You know? I remember one time when I was a teenager, I got pulled over by a highway patrolman. I was going way too fast. And back then, they tell you to get out of the car. Y'all remember that? And so I'm in that hot rod, and I just naturally pull that door handle and bail out. When I bail out, I bump into him. He goes, I said, whoa, I fell out the door, man. I didn't mean to bump into you, you know. But we'll to submit to the authorities. Our nation's got the greatest government on planet Earth, whether you believe it or not. And by the way, those people won't overthrow it. They don't want good government. They want anarchy. They want no law. They want no rules. Could you imagine what this country would be like if there was no law and there was no rules? Amen? Can you imagine what it would be like if there were not police patrolling every night? My goodness. So he says, submit to the authorities. Can I get amen?
Amen.
Because we're pilgrims. How you do that, preacher? By well doing. Do right. Do right. And he also says that'll be a good testimony to others. And others will see your hope and your faith, and they might want what you got. I don't know about you. Before I got saved, I saw people like that. The crowd I hung around with had no rules. We was that anarchy crowd. But every once in a while, I'd run into somebody that was obedient and they submitted to things. And I wonder, why are you even worrying about that? Why do you do that? Well, they were Christians and they were trying to live right. Amen? Number two. Now, we've got authorities. And then look at chapter 2, look at verse 18. In verse 18, servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward. Now, Billy tells me at work they make fun of Danny, but I think he pictures that person. Really? Really? There's a guy he works for that his reputation is he's a devil. And Danny submits to him. And laughs about it. No, sometimes he cries about it. But he submits. He submits. Now, he says, be subject to your master with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward. And he laid out tonight, and I'm bragging on him. For this is thankworthy, if a man for conscience toward God, not conscience toward your boss, toward God, endure grief, suffering wrongfully. He said, that's thankworthy. I mean, that's a person you ought to thank God for, see? And then he says this, for what glory is it if when you be buffeted for your faults, if they jump on you, accuse you, beat you up, whatever, for your faults, what glory is it if when that happens, ye shall take it patiently? But if, when you do well and suffer for it, you take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. Now, what he's saying is, if you do wrong and you go ahead and patiently endure the suffering that they pour on you for doing wrong, God don't get any glory for that. I mean, you did wrong, now you're enduring the whatever they pour on you. Your boss man fusses at you, demotes you, takes your raise away, whatever. There's no glory in that you suffer for that and you endure that. But if you don't do wrong and they attack you, then God gets the glory. But wait a minute, it takes the grace of God to endure that because our nature don't want to do that. It's hard to swallow when you want to talk. Now, so what we've got to do, we've got to submit to our masters by well doing. All right, there's another order, and I'm trying to hurry. I got 10 more minutes. I'm trying to get these kids home, so y'all say you're going to put them in bed, but you'll probably want to let them watch television for 2 more hours. Look at chapter 3. Look at verse 1. Chapter 3, verse 1. Likewise, ye wives. Be in subjection to your own what? Wait a minute. Did that say husband? That if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives. while they behold your chaste conversation, that's your lifestyle. Chaste means pure, holy, clean, coupled with fear. You see that? What he's saying is this. You may have a husband that's not right with God. But if you love that man and you treat him right, and by the way, there's an order in the home. It's God, husband, wife, children. I know that's old-fashioned, but that's the Bible. God, husband, wife, children. We've got that all turned around. We've got children, wife, husband, God now. What's going on down here? Come on. Your wife's way back yonder. She can't even hear you. Listen. We need the grace of God, and we're going to get on to men in a minute, but we need the grace of God to submit in the home. You ever heard this? If you want to lose a friend, move in with them. Or marry them. Amen? Come on, help me. You know, everybody's pretty while you're dating. Everybody's sweet while you're dating. If y'all love me, you get me a cup where I wouldn't have to drink out of old nasty looking bottle. But when the honeymoon's over, what's it like? And the honeymoon will be over. I don't know but two people in this world that the honeymoon went on for 40-something years, and they're sitting on the back pew back yonder. That's all two I know, that the honeymoon ain't over yet. But they've learned how to submit one to another. She's learned how to submit to him. She works with him. He's always the boss. At least she lets him think so. But is that not what it said? By your chaste conversation, you'll win them. I'm parked here for just a minute. You know, in the book of Proverbs, we study in the book of Proverbs, and it said, it's better to dwell in the corner of a rooftop than in the house with a brawling woman. Now, the reason they said that, their houses were flat, and they had stairs. You go up on top, and sometimes they sleep up there. But he said, it'd be better if you just move up there than live in the house with a brawling woman. You know what brawling means? That's Greek for fighting. It ain't Greek, it's English. Now, the man may be the muscle of the home, but the woman is the heart of the home. You ever heard this? If mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. Well, that's supposed to be like a joke, but that ain't a good joke. That's not saying much of mama, is it? And he said, as a continual dripping. You ever had a leaky faucet at night? You hear that thing, they're going plop, 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 plop all night long. Plop. And I've got to the point where it better just let thing run. Just turn it on just a little bit so it don't do that plop, plop, plop. Well, he said, the Bible says that, hey, that's like a nagging woman. Now, ladies, if you ever want to kill a man, nag him. Nag him. You'll kill him. Amen. Don't submit. You'll kill your husband. You say, well, he ain't right. Well, you ain't always right either. Well, I know this is not the thing we'll do. Well, let him see that he's dumb in that area, and maybe next time he'll let you help him. Come on, help me somebody. You men scared, ain't you? You scared to save men. Every one of you, Jeffrey's sitting over here just looking kind of halfway grinning. Look, if we're going to have godly homes, ladies, if you're going to win your husband, he's going to have to see more than the outward adorning and plaiting of hair and gold and jewelry and pretty perfume. You can get that anywhere. Women now in America outnumber men like 3-1. There's plenty of women that's got that. But there's very few women that will submit to a husband now in this day and age. I don't mean slavery. I don't mean abuse. I mean sit down sometimes and say, honey, This is your responsibility. You the head of the house. Now, what do we do? Don't get mad at me, ladies. But it takes the grace of God to do that. Because your nature don't want to do that. Your nature wants to nag, let's be honest. Mine does. Amen? Our nature wants to fuss and fight. But now we're supposed to have the grace of God in us and have a new nature. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature, and all those old things are passed away. Our churches are dying for the lack of leadership of good men. And you know why? I don't blame it on the men. A man cannot be a leader in the home or the church if he doesn't have a wife that backs him up. Thank God I got a wife. She's stuck with me. I've made a bunch of dumb mistakes. And she... You really ain't a preacher. You know that. Listen. And I've quit jobs. I've come home after a job that was interfering with the ministry. Just quit it. And I tell her, I said, I quit that job. And she's sitting there with three kids wondering, well, what are we going to do? But never say a word. Never say a word. When I was a young preacher, she'd ride with me down to Lancaster and go in a liquor store to have church on Sunday. We rented that old liquor store, and here she is with two little toddlers and a baby, and we'd go down there in that old liquor store and preach to 10, 12, or 13 people there on that old midway where all the drunks was, and having church in an old liquor store. And that woman followed me in there. And she'd take a crock pot. I'm going to get to crying. She'd take a crock pot and cook our lunch, our Sunday dinner, in the back of an old liquor store every Sunday so we could stay and have church Sunday night because we didn't have the money to buy gas to go back and forth. That's the kind of woman I'm talking about. Now, I'm sure she sat there and said, boy, he just messed up that sermon sometimes. But she never told me that. Now, listen. We don't just submit to the authorities of government. We don't just submit to our boss man. Ladies, you submit to your husband because that's the way God set it up. And if you didn't like it, you shouldn't have married him. I mean, that's what else can I say? And if you don't, then you're out of the will of God. How many prayers have been hindered because mama was mad and couldn't nobody else be happy? Come on. Now, I know we as husbands, we're supposed to take responsibility and we don't always want it. A lot of men refuse to take it. And a woman sometimes has to do it because the man she married has no backbone. And I'd warn you again, don't marry a man like that. Don't marry, I tell young people, don't marry girls. Don't marry a man that you can tell him what to do. Marry a man that you can talk to and agree on what to do, but don't marry a man that'll let you just boss him around. Because when it comes time to make the hard decision, you need somebody with a backbone to do it. He's not going to do it. And you're going to end up being the head of the house. And you're going to be sorry you are because that's a heavy load to carry. And one day you're going to stand before a holy God. Preacher, you need to change subject. Well, if somebody changes light bulb so I can read my outline. Look at chapter 3 again. There in chapter 3, look at verse 7. Likewise, ye husbands. Now, wait a minute. Sarah called Abraham Lord. Boy, this is good. Those women, we straightening them out. But look at verse 7. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell them with them according to knowledge. Now, I'm going to go ahead and tell you this, and some of you have been misled by popular opinion and society, but men and women are not the same. Not only are we physically not the same, we are mentally not the same. We don't think alike. Go ahead, say it. Amen. We don't think alike. A real man will tell you, I don't understand women. I've been living with the same one all these years, and I don't understand women. I've got 3 daughters. I do not understand women. I gave up a long time ago trying. But you know, they don't always understand me either. Sometimes they think I'm mean. Sometimes they think I'm just being too mean on people. And I'm just, sometimes I want to snatch up a grand young'un and give him a tanning. And my wife says, why are you so mean? He needs a whipping now. But she doesn't understand that. She's the nurturer, see. I'm the man. You know, we're men. We roll big rocks up hills, you know. Men. And we are different. And he tells the men right here, you dwell with them according to their knowledge. Now, I got 3 daughters. We didn't have any boys in my house, thank God. Hallelujah. Amen. Boys are dumb. They're just dumb. They are. I'm glad I outgrew that. But those girls went out of my house not really knowing what a man thought, because they didn't grow up with but one. And I got anything I wanted. I was the king. I mean, you want to be happy, have a house full of girls. Daddy's always happy when you got a house full of girls. But they left my house not knowing what. I'm sure they got some culture shock when they got married, because they didn't know everything about men. So he says, dwell with them according to knowledge. Always remember, fellas, she's not a man. She doesn't think like you. She shouldn't behave like you. I'll just throw this in here for nothing. She shouldn't dress like you. She shouldn't get your hair cut. Come on, fellas. Jump in here anytime now. She's asleep. She didn't hear you. She really not. Listen, dwell with them according. I'm going over time. Dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor. Giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel. And I don't care how much you work out, you'll never be built like a man. You're not supposed to be. Give an honor unto them. You honor women, okay? As being heirs together of the grace of life. Look at this. That your prayers be not hindered. In other words, he's saying if you don't do these things, your prayers are going to be hindered. You're not going to get what you need. Now, listen to me. I don't believe a man ought to be domineering or demanding. I think a man ought to dwell with his wife according to her knowledge as a woman. And I don't think a woman ought to be nagging and bossy and going on all the time. She's going to run him off, if not indeed in heart and mind. But even if she does, that man still ought to honor women, honor his wife. I'm going to shock y'all. Sometimes I'll stop and just buy my wife some flowers for no reason. Sometimes I'll stop and buy her a live plant for no reason. Sometimes I'll buy her stop and buy some sweet cakes for her and just put them, because I ain't cooking. I'm a man, bless God. I'll buy them at the grocery store. I'll put them up there with a little card. Hey, man. And I know she don't understand me, and I feel sorry for her sometimes. I really do. I'm serious. But I'm going to honor her. I'm not going to beat her. I'm not going to abuse her. I'm not going to use her. Amen. And you can be saved and do that. You ladies can be saved and go put on men's clothes. Get you a man's haircut. But you won't get your prayers answered. You men can get effeminate and let your wife have to do all the hard decisions at your house and let her take over and let her be the head of the house if you want to, but you're not going to get your prayers answered if you do that. And it takes the grace of God to do these things. Because we naturally, everybody wants to naturally be in charge. Everybody naturally wants to do what they want to do and don't care what nobody else thinks about it. So you need the grace of God to help you live as Christian families and husband and wife. I know sometimes one has to carry the whole load. I know that. And you need to pray for more grace. Man, I got one more point. Look at verse 8, real quick. Verse 8, chapter 3, verse 8, if you will. Now, you're not playing that back up to me, are you? I'm sorry, verse 13. Chapter 3, verse 13, real quick. He says, "And who is he that will harm you if you be followers of that which is good? But if you suffer for righteousness, happy are you." Amen? Now, listen to this. There is submission that is right. There's submission in the church that is right. There's submission in the home that's right. And there's submission to the government that's right. And it takes the grace of God, but when you get through doing it, you feel happy. I feel like I did the right thing. Before I ever got saved, I'd go to church. I ain't through, I'm just quitting. And y'all ain't helped me a bit tonight. You too. Before I got saved, I came to I'd go to church. I was lost, going to hell, get under so much conviction I couldn't breathe while the preacher was preaching. Some of y'all need a little bit of that. Even though I was not saved, I submitted myself to go to church. And when I left, Brother Mike, I felt good about going to church that day. I was happy. Lost and going to hell. And I was happy. And they'd say, "Oh, what are you so happy about?" I said, "I went to church today." I couldn't have told you what he preached. I thought everything was about me going to hell. He could have been preaching on the eclipse. I wouldn't have known the difference. All I know is I was going to hell, and that's everything that pertained to me. But when it was all over and I left, still lost, I felt a good feeling that I had submitted to God that day and went to church. You know, we got some miserable Christians because they're lacking in the grace of God in submitting. Submitting. Now, you want to be happy? That old song says, if you want to be happy for the rest of your life, make an ugly woman your wife. But that ain't true. You know that ain't true. At least you men better say that ain't true. You want to be happy? Submit. Submit to authority. Submit to the government. Submit to the police. Submit to one another. And submit to the leadership of your church. Now, I'm not the smartest man in this room. I'm not. I'm not even the most spiritual man in this room. I'm not even the best Christian in this room. But I am the man that God put right here. And I knew that 11 years ago. And I didn't really want to do it. You know, Sister Betty, I was up there having a good time, wasn't with Sister Betty. I called her Aunt B. She called me Grouch or something. What's she calling? God puts a man, every once in a while, God will put a man right where he's supposed to be. And I know that you know things I don't know, but I've been at this a long time, a lot longer than you. Now, if I go down to your job, I'm not going to tell you how to do it. If you're a mechanic, I wouldn't tell you how to lay brick, block, whatever it is you do. I wouldn't tell you how to weld. I certainly wouldn't tell Belinda how to clean a house. Are you how to help her? Here's some kind of lab tech, right? Scientist here, you know, and Brother Jeffrey, that's trash man. He's a GM employee. I wouldn't ever tell him how to build a motor. I wouldn't tell him how to. And all of you. So every once in a while, you know what you'll do for your pastor? Just submit. Just submit. And you know what will happen? Your church will be happy. your church will be happy. And then you know what happened? People will walk in and they'll see it. And they'll feel it. And they'll say, this place is not a free fall. It's not anarchy. There's something going on here. And I'd like to get in on this. Y'all with me? Y'all ain't helping me a bit. You're fired, both of you. Y'all fired. Submit, okay? Submit. Say amen.
Amen.
All right. We're fixed on our 11th year. A lot have come and gone because they don't want to submit to authority. They don't want to submit to one another. They don't want to love one another. The families are messed up, so therefore they drag it into the church instead of trying to get help with it. Y'all still with me? Let's submit together, would you? You know, one day I'm going to get too old to be up here. I hope I'm like my mama, I'll be 98. But if I am, I'm going to be sitting down there, and you know what I'm going to be doing? Submitting to the man that's standing right here. I'll do it. I'll submit to the man. Because I've submitted to everyone I've ever been under. And it works. But it takes the grace of God in all submission. You can't do it by yourself. Let's stand. Father, I didn't.